Salam sejahtera, ada bersama saya Rizal Zulkapli dan ini Niaga Awal. Ini kita mulakan dengan perkembangan pasaran saham serantau, saham di Asia Pasifik dijangka didagang rendah hari ini. Dengan pelabur menunggu pengumuman The Fed, terdahulu saham di Bursa Amerika ditutup rendah dalam dagangan Selasa. Turut sama, pelabur menantikan keputusan mesyuarat The Fed. Dalam masa yang sama, jualan saham tenaga dan juga perindustrian turut mengheret turun Dow Jones dan S&P 500.
Indeks Dow Jones jatuh 127 mata, S&P 500 jatuh 6 mata dan Nasdaq naik 11 mata. Menurut laporan Reuters, pelabur jangka The Fed akan semak naik unjuran ekonomi dan akan kekalkan kadar faedah rendah. Wall Street sebelum ini mendapat sentimen positif selepas pakej rangsangan $1.9 trilion diluluskan. Sentimen turut disokong janji Presiden Biden untuk vaksinasi 100 juta warga Amerika dalam masa terdekat. Sementara itu, harga minyak mencatatkan kejatuhan selepas beberapa negara di Eropah gantung penggunaan vaksin Oxford AstraZeneca. Ini dijangka akan ancam pemulihan dan pembukaan aktiviti ekonomi yang lebih meluas di Eropah. Pada semakan akhir, Brent jatuh sekitar 49 sen kepada $68 setong.
Nah, sementara itu, tinjauan Reuters mendapati penerima cek pelan rangsangan $1,400 bercadang untuk membayar hutang dan cukai mereka. Pada Februari, jualan runcit di Amerika dilapor jatuh 3% berbanding Januari. Ini dijangka akan beri kesan kepada ekonomi Amerika yang bergantung kepada perbelanjaan pengguna.
Sementara itu, Presiden Amerika Joe Biden terus adakan jelajah penerangan pelan rangsangan $1.9 trilion. Kali ini, tumpuan diberikan kepada perniagaan kecil di kawasan luar bandar di Philadelphia. Menurut Biden, lebih 400 ribu perniagaan kecil di serata Amerika telah gulung tikar akibat kesan pandemik COVID-19. Dalam masa yang sama, berjuta perniagaan kecil yang lain berdepan cabaran untuk kekal beroperasi. Pakej rangsangan yang diumumkan sebelum ini turut mengandungi geran $28 bilion untuk sokong restoran. Strategi White House kini adalah untuk mempromosikan pelan ini dan menjelaskan manfaatnya kepada seluruh Amerika. Ini untuk elak kesilapan yang sama pada tahun 2009 daripada berulang. Jelajah yang sama turut dilakukan naik Presiden Kamala Harris. Biden sebelum ini menjelaskan dua strategi utamanya, 100 juta suntikan vaksin dalam 60 hari dan 100 juta penerima pindahan tunai daripada pelan rangsangan dalam masa 100 hari.
Dan bersama kita untuk membincangkan berkenaan dengan pasaran saham di Amerika dan juga faktor pengaruhi pasaran saham, kita bersama dengan Wong Wai Ken, pengurus negara Malaysia untuk Stashaway. Wai Ken, thank you for joining us. Wai Ken, are investors a bit cautious ahead of the FOMC post-meeting statement? Many investors are expecting the FOMC to revise up the economic growth for the US and perhaps retain the low interest rates. Do you see signs that investors are cautious right now?
Morning, Rizal. So, yeah, the FOMC is meant to speak soon and tonight. And actually, they've been talking a while now. And I think the real reason why the markets are so nervous is because if they foresee that the rates coming up sooner than expected, yeah, but actually the Fed is really looking to keep rates low for the foreseeable future. So the factors that the Fed looks to raise rates from before is different to what it looks at today. So what it looks at today is things like employment and how the health of the economy looks like. So it's not like before where it just looks at growth and inflation. So like I said before, the real issue is that investors think that the Fed will raise rates before the Fed is actually signaling, and that could be detrimental to the markets because it makes sense that the rally has stalled a little bit this year. Because when Treasury yields, which have so long been under 1%, the 10-year Treasuries, are now at 1.6, 1.64, that's a much better return for taking very, very little risk. So when you see the yields go up, a lot of money will go from the equity markets back into 10-year Treasuries. So what the FOMC says and signals tonight will be very, very, very important. And it's important that they signal that they will keep rates low, even as they see growth rates improve. The real worry here, as I said before, is that they raise rates faster than what the market is expecting. So with lower risk getting much higher return, 1.6% in the treasury yields, then institutional investors will be heading towards safety. But we'll have to wait for tonight to see what the FOMC says.
But why can't just a bit on that, to dwell a bit on that, I think some analysts also believe that investors are moving out of bond because that's why the yield has increased. So tell us more about that. I know you said that investors could possibly move back to bond because the yield is slightly better or much better than some of the assets out there. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, because, you know, the relationship between bonds and yield is a function of price, right? So if more people buy bonds, then the yields will go down because the price will go up. So what you say is correct, but what we are seeing here is a move from bonds into more cyclical parts of the economy, because the economy is reopening, the vaccinations are happening. We are looking at things like oil and energy and financials and small caps looking to recover. So there's this terminology called TINA. So there is nothing, there is no alternative, TINA. So if investors are looking for return, they have to go towards the equity market, only because the bond returns have been so low for so long. So what we see the risk of happening is that the yields go up so much that it's actually very attractive for investors to go back into, which will definitely stall the rally. So what we're seeing here is people not so keen on bonds because the Fed is actually taking up position to buy and crowd out investors out of bonds. And institutional and retail investors are going to more of the cyclicals in the reopening of the economy.
The Bank of America's March fund manager survey shows investors have slightly increased their cash allocation, and they believe that inflation and tantrums could topple the record rally in financial markets. You mentioned that investors moving to cyclical stocks. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so it's only natural that some fund managers are concerned about the market, and they keep some in cash. Our view is that to be fully invested is in the best interest of our investors, because if you're not in the market, you will not benefit from any rallies that might happen. Yeah. So for fund managers to be keeping cash on the side, well, it's a very cautious thing to do. There are opportunities out there in the market. So like we talked about, cyclicals here are a real theme. So as the economy reopens up, we're looking to different sectors to actually do quite well. So when you look at the economy opening, the logical thing to say is, okay, manufacturing will increase, unemployment will go down, hospitality will slowly open up again, restaurants will open up again, and at the end of the year, early next year, flights will resume internationally. So there are a lot of chances for fund managers to actually deploy their cash, and keeping it safe while prudent, while conservative, won't serve their unit holders, because you need to be in these opportunities before they actually respond to the real economy.
Okay, and President Joe Biden promises that 100 million Americans will get their $1,400 check within 100 days. At the same time, Joe Biden is also targeting to vaccinate 100 million people in the U.S. in around 10 days. This could also push cyclical stocks to go up and inflation to go up, right?
Yeah, well, there's a few ways that the people could spend their money, right? They could actually spend it in the wider economy, like what President Joe Biden is wanting them to do, which is why he's doing this this roadshow around the country to tell people that it's okay to spend their money. Some will do that, which will help local businesses grow, SMEs recover, and the wider economy improve. But there are some people who will do different things with their money. So some might actually pay down their credit card debts that have actually brought them through the crisis. Some might pay down their housing loans. Some might pay down their student loans. Some people might continue investing in the market. So if last round was any guide, a lot of the retail money went into retail trading in the stock market, right? So the rise of Robinhood, zero commission trading, things like GameStop, which we've talked before. So these things will the money will flow in a different way. But if it was up to President Joe Biden, it will go into the real economy instead of the market, right? But even then, to your question, I think inflation will rise, but it won't do so at an alarming rate. It will be very gradual. Even if you see inflation rising, the ramifications of that is not severe because the Fed has said that inflation is allowed to run hot, and it's not the only thing that it will look at before raising rates. So if inflation rises, that's not a bad thing, right? If we are in an economy where some reflation is happening, it's only natural. I think the biggest thing is that rates will rise sooner than the market expects, say in 2022 instead of 2023, and then that would, the rally would fall short.
But retail sales in the U.S. went down by 3% in February. Should we use this as a guidance for maybe March and April as well, despite the $1,400 check?
Yeah, so I think, it's also a low base, right? So if you're comparing it to a low base effect, the retail and other indicators will be out of sync for a while. You need to view it in context of how depressed things were last year. So I think that it's only a momentary thing. When you look at the states in the U.S. reopening, different states will open at different times. Texas says it's going to be opened. Florida has already been open. New York is still under very, very strict lockdown. So it will be uneven. And looking at just the headline of, okay, retail sales are down, it might be indicative of little things happening here and there, but it's not really a clear picture. We need to see more things come into light before making a judgment on whether the inflation will actually happen or what people are doing with their stimulus checks. So things to look out for are maybe auto sales and new home building and unemployment, things like that.
But having said all that, will tech still get love from investors?
Tech was very, very hot last year, right? So I think tech was a big beneficiary of COVID because while the real economy was shut down, it was not obvious to investors what would do well. And obviously tech would do well, right? People watch more Netflix, order more Amazon, spend more time on their phones during a time of anxiety. So they've been running very hot for a while. But with the reopening of the economy, the so-called reflation trade, which is just a fancy word for saying people investing in cyclicals, like we talked about, money is diverted elsewhere, right? So when you have some risk towards tech, let's say you have the newly entered Democrats in the Senate and Congress looking at breaking up big tech, then it sends waves in the industry to say, okay, we're not so hot on tech anymore. And then things like the cyclicals that we talked about will get more attention, things like the energy and financials, small caps. So tech has rebounded a little bit from last week, but it's not near its all-time high. And, we are seeing this not just in the U.S., but also China as well. So China's tech companies have also taken a bit of a breather, a bit of a correction since earlier this year. Well, all in all, what we're telling investors is that these are momentary bumps in the economy, and they should stay invested, be diversified, so that they don't jump from one hot asset class to another. We're not saying, okay, the trade today is oil, everyone goes into oil. Okay, the trade tomorrow is tech, everyone goes into tech. It's important that your money is diversified, it's invested, and if the economy as a whole benefits, then your portfolio will also steadily improve. So just maintain your long-term perspective, and then stay focused on your investment goals. We're not telling people to be too reactive to these market movements, but it's important to know what's going on.
So, Wai-Kiat, let's go back to that FOMC meeting, post-meeting announcement for investors in Malaysia and Asia. What will they focus on during the FOMC post-meeting statement, and how will that guide them this week?
Yeah, so I think that once the Fed gives its remarks and people try and interpret what it means and how it signals rate rises or growth expectations, central bankers around the world will also pay attention, right? So if we look at Malaysia with OPR at 1.75, the expectations on the street is that there's one more rate cut to be had this year to go to 1.5. Will that happen immediately? I think the Bank Negara is looking at our economy to see whether it should do it, because it has a lot of stimulus in the economy, a lot of programs like Penjana, which is helping people, ICNR, which allows people to take from their EPF to meet their basic needs. It will look at whether the cut is really needed, really necessary before doing it. I don't think it will cut just to make the cost of money lower. It will look at the real economy for them to signal what they're going to do. So I think tonight's meeting is very important, but I think it's more interesting for the short-term traders than actually the central bankers in Asia, because they have to look towards their economy and their stimulus packages to decide what to do with their rates.
On that note, we thank you very much, Wong Wai-Kiat, Pengurus Negara Malaysia Stashway, membincangkan berkenaan dengan menjelang pengumuman daripada FOMC ataupun The Fed pada malam ini selepas mesyuarat FOMC yang akan ataupun tengah berlangsung pada ketika ini 16 dan 17 hari bulan Mac, dan kita akan berhenti berehat seketika kembali selepas ini. Bertemu kembali, perkembangan vaksinasi global, Sweden jadi negara terbaru menggantung penggunaan vaksin AstraZeneca. Menurut Agensi Kesihatan Awam, penggantungan itu sebahagian langkah berjaga-jaga.
Penggantungan dibuat biarpun ketika agensi perubatan Eropah EMA merumuskan AstraZeneca tidak mendatangkan risiko.
EU, det här förstås, det åter ett bakslag för vaccinationsarbetet, att vi nu har känt oss tvingade att pausa AstraZenecas vaccin mot covid-19. Det kom ju en del signaler redan i förra veckan om det fanns problem med blodproppar, men där visar ju utredningen inte på något tydligt samband, och vi följde då Läkemedelsverkets och EMAs inställning till att vi kunde avvakta och se hur det utvecklade sig. Sen dess har det fyllts på med mer rapporter, och också rapporter av en allvarligare typ, där man har haft en ganska allvarlig påverkan på sitt koagulationssystem hos ett mindre antal personer, ett 10-15-tal personer i Europa så här långt.
Ketua EMA Emma Cook memaklumkan ribuan individu di Eropah mengalami masalah gumpalan darah atas pelbagai punca. Sebelum ini, tiada laporan berhubung peningkatan masalah itu ketika kajian klinikal vaksin AstraZeneca. Sweden mempertahankan tindakannya yang dianggap neutral terhadap COVID-19. Ia tidak melaksanakan sekatan pergerakan, sebaliknya hanya bergantung kepada kesedaran sivik rakyat untuk mengawal jangkitan.
Sementara itu, di Perancis, Menteri Kesihatan yang merayu supaya kerajaan meneruskan semula pemberian vaksin AstraZeneca, Olivier Véran, tegaskan vaksin berkenaan sangat berkesan dan satu alat paling berharga dalam usaha kerajaan perangi COVID-19.
Nous avions alors plusieurs possibilités. Ou nous attendions les conclusions des scientifiques qui interviendront normalement jeudi au niveau de l'Agence européenne pour pouvoir décider si nous changeons un peu la cible en matière de vaccination par Astra. Ou nous faisions le choix de suspendre pendant 48 heures, monsieur le député, le temps d'être sûr que toutes les données scientifiques nous permettent de retourner vers nos populations respectives en confiance pour leur dire « faites-vous vacciner ». Mon vœu le plus cher comme ministre, comme citoyen, comme médecin, comme Français, comme Européens, c'est que nous puissions reprendre cette campagne. Si les conditions sont réunies, et si l'Agence européenne du médicament nous dit « vous pouvez y aller », si les agences nationales nous disent « vous pouvez y aller », alors nous dirons aux Français « vous pouvez y aller ».
Presiden Emmanuel Macron umum penggantungan vaksin AstraZeneca pada Isnin. Ini sementara menunggu siasatan blok itu serta agensi perubatan Eropah. Turut menggantung penggunaan AstraZeneca adalah Venezuela. Kerajaan pimpinan Presiden Nicolas Maduro buat keputusan itu susulan dakwaan kesannya terhadap penerima vaksin tersebut. Untuk rekod, Venezuela antara negara Amerika Selatan yang tidak mencatatkan kes peningkatan yang ketara berbanding negara lain seperti Brazil, Colombia dan Peru. Bagaimanapun, dalam kebimbangan, banyak negara yang menggantung penggunaan vaksin AstraZeneca, rata-rata penduduk di Belgium masih mahukan vaksin itu diberikan kepada mereka. Dalam satu kajian, mendapati 90% rakyat itu akan hadir bagi menerima suntikan dos vaksin AstraZeneca. Setakat ini, Belgium masih belum mengumumkan status penggunaan vaksin AstraZeneca.
Dalam perkembangan berkaitan, beberapa pemimpin negara Eropah desak Kesatuan Eropah EU wujudkan mekanisme pengedaran yang tepat ini bagi mengatasi apa yang didakwa sebagai ketidaksamarataan pengedaran vaksin kalangan 27 negara Eropah.
Menurut pemimpin ini, biarpun pengedaran vaksin ditetapkan EU berdasarkan jumlah penduduk per kapita, namun beberapa negara didakwa terima lebih vaksin berbanding negara lain.
Das halten wir für ein Problem, denn ich glaube, dass das zu Spannungen innerhalb der Europäischen Union führen wird und auch von den Europäerinnen und Europäern nicht verstanden werden würde, weil ja die Menschen in Europa alle davon ausgegangen sind, dass alle Europäerinnen und Europäer gleichermaßen und auch gleichzeitig Zugang zu Impfstoff haben.
Ini menyebabkan ada negara anggota hanya mampu memberi suntikan vaksin menjelang pertengahan Mei. Ada pula negara yang terpaksa menunggu 10 minggu lebih lama.
Dan kita akan berehat sekali lagi kembali selepas ini.